You're listening to Higher Ed Social, Episode 21. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week we talked to James Contrado, the Associate Director of Student Activities at the University of South Alabama. We talk about how James got into higher education and how you can work in higher ed even if your position doesn't necessarily match your degree.
James is an avid runner, and he actually shared his experience with us about how he used to run in high school, stopped doing it for a while, and then used higher education to actually get back into it. We also talk about some great resources for any of you working in student affairs or higher education that are interested in getting fit or starting to run.
We end the episode talking about the variety of commencement ceremonies that exist. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and congrats to the class of 2015. Hi.
This is Logan.
Hi, I'm Logan.
Logan is over in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
So you guys are both in... Well, are you in Central Time Zone?
Yeah, I'm in Central.
Okay. I'm over in New York, in not the city, but the state.
Apparently, there's more to the... Apparently, there's more to the state than just the city.
There is much more to the state than New York City.
that's what I hear. I've experienced both. So,
yes, New York City.
I've been to New York City. Actually, that was where I ran my first marathon. Was in New York. New York Marathon.
Then
I actually went up to Lake Placid. One of my friends lived up in Vermont, and I was just like, let's go to Lake Placid.
See some hockey history. I'm about an hour and a half from Lake Placid. I'm south.
Oh, okay.
So are there like monster gators there or something?
I'm like, Placid.
that was a terrible movie.
Is that a movie? See, I'm so pop culture inept that I didn't even know that was a movie reference. What movie are you referencing?
Yeah, B. Arthur is in it.
She's a Golden Girl. No, she's not.
B. Arthur. I know who that is.
Yeah.
What movie was it?
Lake Placid.
Oh, it was actually called Lake Placid.
Yeah, it's called Lake Placid. And it was about, like, mutant gators, like, eating everybody.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to put that on my list of movies to watch. Sorry, my cat is, like, in her, like...
Wait, was it B. Arthur or was it Betty White?
I don't remember.
Oh, it would have been funnier if it was Betty White.
Actually.
They're all Golden Girls to me.
Yeah.
Okay, Betty White is, like, her own... She has her own persona. Like, she's done a lot of other things.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Betty White now that I think about it. Yeah, just because she's just that crazy one.
Have to watch it. Yeah, Lake Placid's nice. Arguing.
It is Betty White and Bill Pullman.
Yeah, and I knew Bill Fonda. Pullman. Yeah. I think they ended up making like three of those movies too.
Oh, I love those types when they're so bad and then they keep making bad ones. Like Sharknado.
Yeah, it's like straight to sci-fi kind of crap too.
I love it so much. I don't know if you've seen any of the Sharknado movies, but they are fantastic. I highly recommend them.
I have a second one recorded. I still haven't seen them yet, so afraid to.
You know what, Tara Reid, man, steals the show. Let me tell you. No, it's a hilarious movie, and you can't watch it with any of those people that are like, but that would never happen because it would just ruin your experience. Because, of course, like the whole thing wouldn't happen.
Like science, science says it can't happen, so.
It is fantastic. There's moments when there's like a puddle of water and there's like all of a sudden in a different shot, it's like an ocean and there's a shark in it. But it's like, what? Because I swear those sharks are like, they're like those little those little pills that you would have as a kid and they would grow in water, aka it would dissolve and turn into a little sponge. That's what I picture these sharks as. They just shrink and grow with the amount of water that they have. That's what
it is. Holy crap. That's awesome.
So welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome.
I've already hit record because I do that. So tell us a little about yourself.
How's it going? Yeah, my name is, like I said, James Conchado. Right now I serve as the Associate Director of Student Activities at the University of South Alabama. I've been working here, actually I was just telling Jackie, I've been here for about 9 months, actually, at this particular university. And actually this month I've celebrated 10 years of being in the field.
Wow.
Yeah, I graduated with my master's 10 years ago at Illinois University. Yep. And it's definitely been an interesting ride, all 10 years of them. It's been really interesting.
So how many universities have you been on, either as a student or as an employee?
Five.
Wow.
Yeah,
five.
Well done.
Yeah, so undergrad at Florida State, master's Eastern Illinois University. My first job was at Western Carolina University over in Cullowhee, North Carolina. And then I was at UNC. I worked there for 3 years. Then I went to UNC Charlotte, worked there for 6 years. And then now I'm at the University of South Alabama. So, yeah, bye.
Moving all around.
So, yeah. Let's see here. So, you should know where Cairo, Georgia is because you went to Florida State.
We did have some guests from there.
Do you know where Forest City, North Carolina is? It's near Cullowhee. It's in Rutherford County. It's where Chimney Rock is.
Yes. Because I've been to Chimney Rock. I've been there a couple of times over by Lake Lure.
That is correct.
Lake Lure, like just south of Asheville and everything.
So he's been essentially within an hour of places I've lived.
Paths just didn't cross at the right time.
Yes.
It just didn't work.
Well, and
good old Florida State.
I love Florida State. Yeah, that was my undergrad. My freshman year was 99 when we won the title. If that was an introduction.
Oh man.
I've been a fan ever since. I never missed a single undergrad game when I was down there. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and so now
you're like me. You're a class of 99, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I won't tell you what I was doing in 99, but it wasn't college.
Fifth grade, right?
Something around there, yeah.
Well, and it's funny because with all the schools that I've been to, one of the things I have in my office is I actually have a picture of almost every university I've been at. Like I found like just some random artwork that I have them hanging on a wall. So I found at an art festival, I found like Florida State Stadium. So I have that up there. For Western Carolina at that same art festival, I found a picture of the student union there. So I have that hung up. And as a going away president, they gave me a picture of our student union. They all signed around it. But the one piece I was always missing was something from Eastern Illinois. And I always had just a random picture of a cheetah. I mean, it was something I made back in high school. It was a sandblast of a cheetah. I think it looked pretty cool. And I always used that as a placeholder just in case I got something from Eastern Illinois. Now, our mascot was the Panthers at Eastern Illinois. So, I mean, that just kind of stretched the cat mascot.
Yeah.
However, my mom just gave me a call today. She's up there in Springfield, Illinois right now.
There you go.
And they were at an arts festival, and she found a really cool painting of one of the buildings at Eastern Illinois. And she's like, James, do you still need something for your office? And I'm like, that's the missing piece.
It's complete. You did it. Yes.
So she's going to send that. She's going to send that my way, and I will finally have
all
the universities up there.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, I only have one campus. I had two campuses. I don't have a piece of art from my second campus, the one that I worked at, but I do have like random like print materials and like my old name tag and like that kind of stuff. So that counts.
Oh, cool.
So at all these campuses, well, aside from when you were attending as a student, were you working in like student life, student activities, or did you bounce around departments?
Actually, when I was at Florida State, I mainly just stayed in the student campus entertainment, just with student activities the whole time. And that's what kind of blows my mind with a lot of our students that are like trying to balance. They balance like so many student organizations and leadership roles and leadership positions. I was purely just let me focus on this one organization and this one club, and just make the best out of that one. Just because I was an accounting major at the time and I hated it. I truly did not want
to deal
with accounting and finance. And I was actually talking with my advisor saying, oh, man, I really don't like my accounting classes. It's boring. It's just, I really
Excel
don't.
Excel spreadsheets? Just don't ignite your fire?
Actually, that isn't too bad right there. But, oh, my gosh, I was just, it's more of the, of just balancing crap that making up accounts. And I was like, why are we doing this? This is dry. And why can't I do this for a living is what I told him my thing. And he looks at me and says, James, what do you think I'm doing now?
That's a good
and
point.
I said, well, what major was that? Because I'll go change it like right now. And he said biology. And I'm like, that makes no sense. And that's how it got me into higher ed. pursued it from there. So I was just mainly in student activities the whole time. I mean, worked with concerts, worked with special events, our homecoming, and those areas at Florida State. And then when I got my grad degree, my assistantship was in student activities and student life.
Very cool.
And that gave me some opportunities. I got to advise like our programming board, some areas of homecoming, our Black Student Union, some parts of student government. So that really gave me a lot of experience throughout that whole area.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's so funny because I watch so many people, you know, me and my friends included, that walk into college with undergrad and they're like set on a path, and then they realize, wait a minute, higher ed is also a field that you can study. Like, it's the one field that you don't think about going mm-hmm. into school because you don't realize what it could be. Like, no one, yeah. I don't know anyone that goes in as a freshman saying, I want to work in student activities after I graduate.
Yeah, like whenever you're at like high school and they say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? You'd say like, I want to be a student activities advisor.
Yeah, I want to be an admissions counselor. Like, no one says that. It's so funny. It's very cool. Well, that's really neat.
It's definitely interesting. I'd say a lot of students these days, though, coming out of college, wish that they could work at a university. I'm starting to notice that. Especially with students that I have that are graduating from that I've worked with and stuff like that. They're just like, can I come work here? Well, no.
Part of it might be
maybe
a little bit of that like safety net almost. Not to say that they don't actually want to work at these institutions, but you know, it's been their life for 4 years. They had such great memories, you know, they have such a strong tie to the campus and the college that they're like, well, how do I stay but still like grow up a little bit? Which mm-hmm. I admit, I did it 100%. I went right into higher education. I really wanted to be there because I was a student leader. I was involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was great. It was a great experience and I did love it. Like, it was a good experience.
I took about 3 or 4 years off and then came back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I ended up, I worked for Dell for a while, selling computers at a kiosk in a mall, which, as depressing as that sounds, actually was a lot of fun. Paid really well.
Really?
And then Dell shut down the entire division one day and told us on a phone call and told me I had a 3-month severance and bye-bye.
But now you're here.
And now
positives
I'm here.
And the negatives.
The next day, the next day I applied to work at Belmont, and 4 months later I was there.
How many years later was that?
It was about 4 months, 3 months.
No, how many years have you been at Belmont?
I've been at Belmont, 7 years.
There you
going
go.
On 8 now.
Wow.
And I've worked in
that university that long here and not bounced around a whole bunch.
Well, I actually bounced around within the university. I spent about 40% of my time in admissions first, and then they moved me up to university level marketing. So. Yeah, I do social media and stuff. Of course, people on the show know that, but I don't know if you know that. Social media, marketing, and everything like that. So I get one of those. I get the cool job that kind of works with everyone on campus, whether it's student activities, athletics, admissions. I get to see students from when they come in as high school students, just not sure if Belmont's the place, all the way to after they've graduated. For alumni stuff and everything like that, so it's really awesome.
I think you know, that position in particular has been growing more and more and more, being more and more prevalent at a lot of universities. Where it was just like, hey, handle our Facebook page. Now it's like, okay, handle everything. And now we have like other social media coordinators at the school too, and it's all ran out of that one department just for the marketing of the university. And yeah, I guess the students that you see and the people that you meet on all those, because you get to interact with all the pictures, all the events, and I'm sure you have everybody and their brother contacting you saying, hey, I have this event here, and you're helping me promote it, and you're like, I have 10 already queued up here, so.
You sure? Would be more, you are more correct than you realize. it's interesting, though. I think students have started to realize that I can't promote everything, but I mean, Belmont's a really big music school, and one thing that students love to promote on their own, and that's why the Facebook groups that we create for them are so great, is they have shows. whether they're house shows at someone's house or they're, you know, shows at venues around the city. It's become a really big thing. I mean, one of the students, one of the student groups I got to see like grow, they're the Lonely Biscuits. That's the name of their band. Oh, you've heard of them. Oh, well, they kind of started in our, at Belmont in our Facebook group, sort of. I kind of watched them grow, and then they've won awards on MTV. They won a Woody Award, which is really awesome. And, they just, two of them graduated last week. We actually played their, song as the, whatchamacallit, the, recessional as a surprise. So, the band, we normally have a band that's up there playing of professors. They play, you know, happy classical. They all went up there to play, and then the music started playing, and then they all just put their instruments down because they all knew it was going to happen, and it was just pretty awesome. The only thing was that the song doesn't, like, really start. It was Chasing Echoes as a song, so it doesn't really, like, really start. It has, like, a beat that kind of gets going. It's kind of a jazzy beat. And it was in the event center, so everybody was like, what's going on? And then the music started, and like, oh, we're recessing to this. And it was pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool. If you have video of that, Logan, we'll share it on the website.
It's on Belmont's website.
There we go.
After you watch an hour and a half of students graduating.
Just fast forward.
You can't miss the president's speech either, because it's really awesome too. He does a commencement speech every year, and his commencement speech is totally made up of song lyrics.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yes, it's awesome.
That's classic.
Very impressed.
Yeah, and it's really short. And he starts out with a Garrison Keillor quote that every commencement speech is a dark cloud passing over an otherwise happy occasion. It's great.
Huh. I've never heard that quote before.
So I guess when you, you hear the speech, did you go back and try to pinpoint, like, okay, which line was from what lyric?
He actually names all the artists in order. So it's pretty easy, if you've written them all down and you can go through and, and do it. He makes it very simple for the internet folks.
Okay.
should it ever make it on the web. Oh, hi, Kat.
What's up, Kat?
She likes to mess up the podcast sometimes. She likes to be involved. I tried to save it, but I couldn't. So that's my cat.
Hey, Kat.
Yep, we weren't just censoring.
My dog's still in over here, too, and I'm surprised he hasn't barked yet. So
there you go. I swear we should just do, like, an animal. We've had so many animal interruptions on this podcast. It's insane.
So both of you are very active on the SAFit hashtag. I've seen. So I was thinking this is something we could talk about, because I in marketing always feel bad doing anything SA, whether it's SA chat or SA fit or whatever, because I'm not really in student affairs. But why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my interpretation of the SA fit hashtag is just anytime someone I consider higher ed and student affairs for this hashtag. I think it's a very accepting hashtag. Yeah. But basically,
in that
it's
no one's
going
to argue with you if you.
Well, right. Like, if they're not
going to go. You're in social media marketing. Right. You don't belong here. You need to create your own hashtag marketing. You know?
Yeah. HE fit doesn't like slide as nicely as SA fit. But basically, all of these awesome people across the country working in higher education and student affairs, or even like graduate students that are studying, that basically just like get up in the morning mostly and have an awesome run. Like, people that make me like kill myself for having any sort of excuse. Like, I see people getting up in the morning like, quick 10-mile run before work today, hashtag SA fit. Like, what? Like, I can't. No. I'm not running
guilty.
10 miles. And that's James. And so it's a really cool hashtag if you are even you don't have to be like the crazy 10-mile in the morning runner. Like, even if you just like knocked out a couple miles or like your first mile ever, like, share it, because people there are super, super supportive. It's awesome.
I did 3 miles this morning.
Hashtag SAFit.
Do it. Boom. Yeah. Log it.
Also known as, which I will give credit to Donna Tallarico for, hashtag healthy higher ed.
I have seen that one start creeping up here. So That one's just longer than SA Fit.
Yes, SA Fit fits a lot nicer.
Depending if I want to put like hashtag marathon training, hashtag SA Fit, hashtag humid as heck.
It is, yes, seriously. It is cool to see what other people are training for. And there's actually also, if you are interested, listeners, because I know that James is in it, there is a Facebook group, I think, called SA Runners?
I think it's just Student Affairs Runners.
Something like that. Yep, Student Affairs Runners. We'll link to it. But again, you know, there's no background check. I'm in it, and I'm technically not in Student Affairs. But it's basically people jumping in and talking about their runs, any sort of training they're doing, where they're running. It's pretty sweet. So
and also that you give out like training advice. So if you are, you know, there's a lot of techie folks in higher ed too.
Yes.
So if somebody says, "Hey, I'm looking to get a new GPS watch," you will get everybody's. There it is. Is that your Apple Watch?
That's my Apple Watch.
Apple Watch time, which I'm sure that's going to be Runner World Review here soon too.
Yeah,
so.
I'll have to jump in on that. But yeah, it's neat. Yeah, we had a whole conversation. Someone asked like for a GPS watch, and it went on for like 3 days. It was awesome. It's a really supportive group. And that's what I've noticed just in higher ed in general, even though our campuses are all very different. We're all in it together. Mm-hmm. We all are helping out. It's pretty neat to collaborate in that way too.
What I like about it too is that there's actually a document that, I mean, it hasn't been kept up with as much as I'd like to see, but I think so once people start posting on it, but it has the race schedules of folks that are in higher ed, and if they want to post where they're going to be racing next, you know, it just says like, you know, it says Chicago Marathon, I'm running it, or it has the Country Music Marathon, you know, it had like a couple people on there running that one too. Right. Yep, so it gives you like a good list of thinking like, oh, who's all going to be, who's running these races too, that's around here too.
Have you met up with anyone ever at a marathon or half marathon?
Actually I did, not via that list, but via ACUI I did.
Ah.
About that.
Was there a run at ACUI or something like that?
There was an ACUI, yes.
I'm paying attention. How was that? I didn't see the results.
I accept the fact that racing events are not something that we coordinate on the regular. There are professional companies that do those things.
Right.
And yeah, it was a 5K that we were supposed to run that went through San Antonio, started at the Alamo, was going to go down the river, go through downtown, go down the Riverwalk, and complete it there. Unfortunately, we got directed down a wrong turn, and it actually cut the race in half.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, it became a it was a mile and a half run as opposed to a whole 3 mile run. It was a very awkward finish line because as we're running, we hit the finish line, and it was like, "Yeah, you did it." We're like,
"No,
what?
That was my fastest 5K ever."
Yeah, and but all that to say is that I got third in it, so I got three. So I was like, okay, and I mean, the competitive side of me was a little bit frustrated because I was just thinking, and like, okay, I'm strategizing where I'm going to, I see the guys ahead of me, I'm like, oh, they're like, I'm keeping a good pace behind them. Like, I think after about another quarter mile, I'll start tearing it up to get up to them because then it'll be a neck and neck to the mile. And then all of a sudden it was like, and we're done. We're like, wait. What?
But that's not fair.
Oh, it's like, oh man. So for Battle of the Region stuff, like I'll take the third place and everything, but I feel kind of cheated because we didn't do the whole 5K thing. But
listen, you got to be up for anything in student really affairs. Is.
Yeah.
Whatever life throws at you.
And you know, just as us being supportive, we're just like, eh, okay, it happens. And some folks went ahead and ran a little bit more, and some folks said, eh, okay, got my little run in, and I'm gonna go shower up and be ready for some sessions. Yeah. But ACY does a really, really cool, good job of having a conference 5K and making it organized and doing it for their run there. So
was that their first ever 5K? Do you know?
For this one, no. They've done it for a bunch of the national conferences. Yeah, and it's actually kind of a funny story on how I got back. I used to be a diehard runner back in when I was in high school. And then I, you know, high school, graduated, went to college, didn't run in college at all, and just got lazy and all these other things. And then about a couple of years ago, I wasn't feeling that good. I was kind of, I was kind of depressed. There was a lot of things getting me down. And I was just thinking, well, what was that one thing that really got me, you know, like made me happy? And I was like, I thought back to running. And And at that same time, I saw the announcement for ACY. It's like, hey, register for the national conference. And as I'm registering for it, it said, do you want to register for the conference 5K? And I was like, well, this will be a motivating factor. So I signed up for the conference 5K, that's awesome. And that gave me a little bit motivation there. And it was crazy, too, because when I started back up again, I was only doing 20 minutes a day, three times a week. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then I just kept on building and building from there, and you know, ran my first 5K in years. And then later on that year, I ran my first 10K, and then also ran my first half marathon at the end of the year. And then the next year, you know, just said, I want to try for a full now. Entered in the New York Marathon lottery, got in by some odds-beating lottery magic. Wow. And got to run my first marathon at New York City last year. So
that must have definitely been
it was definitely an incredible thing. And you know, and keeping up with the SA Fit hashtag and keeping up with the student affairs runners definitely kept it going. Because yeah, like you said, it doesn't matter if somebody posts, oh hey, I just did a 3 mile run, and someone says I did a half marathon run too, and everyone treats you the same. They're like, hey, yeah, good job. Yeah. You're doing the thing, you know? And you don't have to be embarrassed on how fast or slow or how long or short you're going. You just, like, just do you, you know?
Mm-hmm. My one dream, which is a very far-off dream, just considering how little time I have, would be to plan, like, an SA Fit marathon, half marathon, 5K weekend where everybody could come together and, like, network. Because then you're going to get people – because you're not – like, ACUI has a certain type of – professional there, like it's targeted a certain type of professional. So like we're gonna have people from admissions, from athletics, probably a lot of people from athletics, people from student affairs, marketing, like all aspects of campus, like coming and running this race. So that's my like dream event. Mm-hmm. Do I think I'll ever be able to plan it? Probably not, but I would love
assisting could be organizing a Ragnar relay for them.
That's true.
Couple of Ragnar teams going. Yep. And I think there was one, like a student activities, or not student activities, but a student affairs Ragnar that just happened not too long ago. I think Terry was in it, and Ed Cabellan was in it, I think.
I haven't seen it, but I can look into it.
look them up and everything too. I'm sure they'll love to show you that experience.
Yeah, it's a neat, I don't know.
On the show.
Yeah, we should. Running is a cool experience. I feel like lately it's been, instead of like higher ed social, it's like higher ed runs. Like we've been talking about running like a lot lately.
I've got the higher ed runs.
you just turned that into a terrible idea, Logan.
I'm just saying it needs a different hashtag.
Higher ed running. Higher ed run.
That's
run
better. Fast. It needs an ing or something.
Yes.
Running. Let's not call it higher ed runs. That's just bad.
That's just a terrible mental. Thanks a lot.
And I'd just like to apologize. I know I haven't talked much, but last week I got allergy tested, so I didn't take my allergy medicine for a week, and I'm getting over the cough that created. So apologies to everyone.
It's better than hearing you.
At least you don't get the higher ed runs.
Yes. Yeah. It could be worse. It could be much worse. So how did commencement go, guys? On your campuses, it's over.
We had the largest commencement ever. It was great.
Big deal.
I think we graduated almost 1,150 students.
Wow.
Which is for a small, well, we're not small. We're mid-sized. For a mid-sized university like Belmont, that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
So it's a great thing.
Yeah, we this was actually the first time, like I said, I've only been at this campus for 9 months, and this was the first time that they've had two commencements.
Oh.
Yeah, so
how did that go?
It was interesting.
I would say it's probably harder. It's probably hardest the first time you try to split it.
Yeah, because I think you know it's that whole dynamic of because they're around our Mitchell Center. There's not a lot of parking around there, and so even for basketball games and for other games, you have to park like kind of spread out a little bit, and then because that parking lot doesn't fit a lot. But I think part of it is, you know, they time it. It's like, okay, we're going to have the first one go this time and this one go this time. And, you know, when does the two paths cross?
Oh,
like the people who want to leave campus from the first commencement, people are coming on campus from the second commencement.
Yep. And then the folks need a good buffer.
The folks are like, hey, I'm parked anyway, so let's go take pictures around campus. And you can't hang out with mom and dad and grandma. So it creates a whole other thing.
It's an interesting dynamic. Yeah, mm-hmm. ours started out I started at 7 o'clock. The breakfast reception for families and everything was at 7:30, with the first commencement starting at 9:30, and then we had another commencement at 2:30, with a reception after that. So it was a full day.
I would say it's a long day.
It was a long day.
Yeah, that must have been an interesting. I feel like you could never figure that out. Like, you have to just know your campus, and like, you couldn't even plan ahead sometimes for stuff like that. Like, the crossing of the paths, that's pretty nuts.
Or good luck next year. Split up pretty well between 9:30 and 2:30, so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It was pretty straightforward. Most of the people had cleared out from the first for the second group to come in. So. Mm-hmm. And it gave our folks who do the reception and everything plenty of time to flip everything and get everything ready. There was a really awesome like ice sculpture of the bell tower, actually, which was really cool. I know, it's random. It's one of those cool things that they do for graduation that was really neat.
Did you like pour like drinks through it?
No, because that would make it melt.
I've seen so many. No.
Was it the nice luge?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't mean to allude to like alcoholic beverages because they do it with like punches and things But I could picture. I mean, the bell tower is perfect because it just would roll off the roof.
Sure, but they didn't do that. They wanted it to last for both ceremonies, so they only made one. True.
That is a good point. The second ceremony, people got like the slightly less perfect version of the bell tower ice sculpture. For shame.
You might have just changed time on you or something.
Yeah, it didn't look as good as it
messes up the hands
during the morning.
So, James, what is your department's role in commencement at your campus? Because I know it's different for a lot of schools as to like who kind of heads it.
Actually, in our campus, like my department really doesn't do too much with commencement itself. I mean, which is good for us. I mean, yeah, we're there. If we want to be there as a volunteer role, we can. Or if we just want to be there as spectators, we can too. So right now, I think, you know, commencement is handled out of a different department. And I know, let's see, the Mitchell Center, that's where like our basketball arena is, and that's where the main thing. I know they're always all hands on deck because they have to do all those things. Fortunately for us, like if we choose to come on campus for that one, we just have to like just mind the traffic and, you know, help out with whatever we need. So that's pretty much our role.
Wow. Get a nice, nice relaxing weekend. That's good.
Yeah. unfortunately, I didn't get to attend our commencement this time around, but yeah, so I didn't get a chance to experience the traffic or the dual ceremony.
Oh, darn.
Darn. Yeah. Right. I was like, I'm going to relax this weekend because I don't go out of town for once.
Okay, nice. Well, that's good. Yeah, take that. That's interesting because I've seen the exact opposite on campuses where student activities is large and in charge. Like they're the ones planning and running and crazy and collaborating with their events center. So that's interesting.
I know Clemson especially was like that. Yeah, because I had some colleagues over there and like they actually managed that venue. And so they had to be all hands on deck for commencement and everything too, which was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For ours, it's primarily the Office of the Registrar, the Office of the Provost, and they do the ceremony part. The event folks obviously do stuff within the event center and everything like that. Marketing does stuff. We do a live stream, and we do photo frames and stuff, so that's what I do. And then each of the academic departments kind of volunteer for different ceremonies per year. So like this time, I think it was the College of Theology and Christian Ministry and some other ones. They help line up the students and get them out and everything like that. So it's actually a really coordinated thing because one of the interesting things that Belmont does is we actually give the students their diploma. Like we give them their actual diploma when they cross the stage. We don't mail it to them, they get it. And there are obvious logistical issues to that.
Yes.
The students have to be lined up in correct order. They have to know if a student didn't make it so they can pull that diploma and everything like that. And it requires another level of paying attention when you're up on the screen, when you're up on the stage to make sure that if a student, you know, is in absentia and we didn't know that they pull it off. So it's it's definitely a very an interesting, and the registrar's office puts a lot of work into it, and I'm really proud of the work that they do, because they just, they actually give the kids the diplomas. No other school does that.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah.
That's, how many mixed up diplomas happen each year? Not that I doubt the system, but that's crazy.
And wow. I keep an eye on, well, at least you think the first thing they do is go on Instagram that's while they're true, sitting yeah. out there and say, oh, Beaumont screwed up. And yeah. I have yet to see that happen. So,
wow, I'm very impressed. That's a very daring move. If I were in charge of that, I'd be like, nope, let's go the safe route. Like, we're going to mail them.
Well, if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure that even the folder that has the student's diploma in it actually has their name monogrammed on it. So They don't open it. They open it up and they look at it. They look at the name and make sure it matches. And when the name's called and the student walks up and they hand it, that's the third check. So
yeah. Wow. I'm very impressed.
It's pretty impressive.
That's some event planning science right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, seriously. That's wow. Well, congrats to the Office of the Registrar at Beaumont for a job well done, because that is an ambitious goal.
That I think they're all on vacation right now.
I would be if I had to deal with that.
They're like, well, see you later.
Yeah, like commencement's over. I'm gone for a week. Catch you later. That must be crazy. Wow, I'm very, very impressed. But then the other side of that, because I remember, well, obviously my undergrad, we got ours mailed, and everyone was up in arms that like they didn't get their diploma for like a month or two or something like that, and everyone was freaking out like that they weren't getting them. Whatever.
Yeah, why worry about it then when you
exactly
can just take care of it now?
I mean, it was either it's either like stress out, which I'm going to assume Beaumont's Office of the Registrar stress out for however probably like a month or two before commencement, or deal with hundreds and hundreds of angry graduated seniors that they don't have their physical diploma. So I don't know what's worse. I don't know what I would pick. Probably the safe route. Because then you potentially have angry seniors that got the wrong diploma.
And you can always reprint the diploma. So
that is true. That is very true.
That is true.
Easy. Well, congrats to the class of 2015.
Yeah, you were a good class. I'm going to miss you.
We'll see you in higher education.
Maybe.
And I think that, you know, coming from the dual schools, it was great seeing, you know, my UNC Charlotte students that were graduating, as well as the my first class of USA students that were graduating too. So that was really, really cool, like going back and forth on that.
Yeah. This is kind of like your commencement too, like, because you said you've been there about 9 months, which is about as long as the school year. So pretty congratulations.
Much. My freshman year at USA is now almost complete. So. To make it through the summer semester, and then I lose my rookie card. So
there you go. Yeah, all your, you know, if you make a mistake, you can't just blame it on, I was new, I didn't know. Like, you lose that. So cash them in while you can, because pretty
well, soon. My rookie punch card has got like at least 15 punches right now. So it's just like, keep playing it. It's like, it doesn't expire until July 31st. Okay.
There you go. Crazy. And then a whole new class comes in that you get to meet. That'll be cool.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Thanks, James, for joining us.
Thank you.
You can get links to information we talked about today and a picture of some of the... What was the picture that we were going to show? I forgot. It was... I was going to show a picture of the tower, the ice tower.
We'll do that too. Okay. So we'll have some pictures, maybe,
and links.
Not sure.
If you love this episode, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on the website or in iTunes. And of course, that website is highered.social. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a message. We'd love your feedback.
And if you want to be on Higher Ed Social, don't be afraid to reach out to us on Twitter, on Facebook, by email, carrier pigeon. We don't care. We want to meet you and we want you on our show. So send us a message, and we hope to hear from you soon.
And remember, if you run, always hashtag SAFit.
We'll be there.
That's about all the time we have for this episode. So, Jackie? So we're on it or we're not. It's one of them. It's one of the two.
We normally crash and burn towards the end. I'm actually really impressed how long we went without crashing and burning. I'm just going to do it. You should hear us
record. Here, I can do it. Okay. So.
Oh, my God.